Thanks for being with us today on The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Fantasy and sci-fi books that share a piece of the Black experience are hugely popular right now. Of course, we have the box office hit Black Panther, and today with a lot of big expectations. Ava DuVernay's Wrinkle in Time opens in theaters across the country. But there's also a new book out this week that's getting a lot of buzz. The Children of Blood and Stone. It's the first in a series of young adult novels by Nigerian-American author Tomi Adeyemi, who at 24 years old got a seven-figure deal for her West African-inspired story that draws on parallels of police brutality and empowerment of women and girls and dissects them in the fantasy world of Orisha.
We like adventures. We love adventures. You know, we love Lord of the Rings. We love Harry Potter. We love The Hunger Games. And I think all, like, young adult authors who are especially writing in, like, the fantasy or sci-fi genre, we're all influenced by that. Like, a lot of us, we are in the Harry Potter generation, so we grew up with this amazing magic. We grew up with it in the books, and then we got to see it in the movies, so that was a big influence. And then I think for the authors writing today, like, The Hunger Games really changed the game because, you know, Harry Potter got really dark at the end. The Hunger Games started there. And it was sort of the proof that you could deal with real issues, like real ugly, dark issues in books for teens, and they can handle it. And not only handle it, like they can really process, they can think deeply about it.
This is a heroine story for sure.
Yeah.
Themes of community, themes. There's lots of magic and an action scene.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, page one, where the fighting starts.
Yeah.
And your heroine, Zaylee, there's one scene where a big weapon is coming at her and she leans back so far that I'm thinking this is like Neo in the Matrix.
Yes!
She's like all the
I'm
way backed
so
up, right?
I'm so happy that you said that. It's funny because like when I'm writing these action scenes, I'll have real references. So I'll be looking at like fights with staffs. I'll be looking at, it's funny, now I'm really into MMA. So when I'm writing fat like fight scenes, I'm like, okay, and then like pivot and really get there with the elbow and use your hips. But for that scene, for that arch, I was like, yeah, in my head, I saw it like the Matrix.
Yeah.
So the fact that you saw that, like, that just made my day.
And shows on page one or two, I don't know what it is,
yeah,
that Zaylee is an exceptional warrior.
Yeah.
And she's going to be the heroine of this story. She's,
yeah,
not just learning to use a staff with two or three dozen other girls, as
exactly
it happens, but she's special.
I love the idea of these young girls who aren't supposed to be fighting, kind of like mini Mulans. And, you know, we think they're in here to do something. Everyone thinks that's what they're doing, but really they're in there and they're learning how to fight. And not necessarily because there's a war, but because they believe, like, we need to know how to defend ourselves.
You have said that Black Lives Matter was,
yeah,
an important inspiration, an important influence for you,
yeah,
in crafting this book and in crafting the universe where it takes place. Mm. Why is that?
This book, it started in 2016, and that was emotionally a really rough year because it felt like every week there was another hashtag. There was another video of a Black man or a Black child or a Black woman being killed by the cops. And it was just sort of this back-to-back, like, okay, you're going to be, you know, hunted. You know, you're going to be killed. Your dad's going to be killed. Your mom's going to be killed. Your brother's going to be killed. You are going to be killed. Your sister's going to be killed. Like, you know, you can hear it in my voice, but that is what it felt like constantly. And then it was like, oh, also, there will be no justice from it, and there will be no change. But internally, back-to-back-to-back, there's a lot of emotional PTSD. And for me, I was so upset, but then it turned into like an anxiety attack because I was so scared. But it's also something that I think people need to know. So with the book, it, on one hand, it's like this epic adventure. You know, I'm like, it's Black Panther with magic, you know? So you have that wonderful adventure. You have that magic. You have that action. But on another layer, it is me sort of working through all of these things and also putting it in a fantasy world so that people can see it without their prejudices. Because when you say something like Black Lives Matter, there's going to be listeners that go, wait, all lives matter, blue lives matter. All, you know, like the intention gets twisted really fast in our world. So I was like, let me take the same exact concept. Let me take the same exact obstacles, conflicts, kind of like the systems of oppression. And let me just show that to you in another world so that your first instinct isn't actually this or this. It's like, oh, that's really messed up.
Did you channel some of that anxiety, some of that tension you were feeling into Zaylee, your main character. Zaylee, she's your heroine. She's young. She's a warrior. She goes on an epic mission, and we're not doing spoilers, but but she takes action on an epic scale, and I wonder how much of that sort of mental and emotional PTSD that you were feeling throughout 2017 got channeled right through her.
It literally is, like, from that day I was talking about, the day where I was, like, having an anxiety attack, I wrote a scene that actually ended up in the book. And through, like, 40 drafts and hundreds of revisions, that scene has been, like, mostly unchanged. So for Zaylee really is sort of that. I was able to channel a lot of my emotional PTSD through her because I was putting her through a lot of same things. They're very different. You know, this is a different world. There's a whole, like, epic conquest behind it, but she was facing the same conflict. So I was able to keep it really human because I'm like, I know exactly how you're feeling. I can write exactly how you're feeling because I'm feeling that too, or I have felt that.
There's a lot of class strife in this world, and entire classes of people that are kept down by the royalty, by the monarchy.
Yeah.
I don't want to say who. But Amari is your princess.
Yes.
She's central to the story. Who is she?
Yeah, so Amari is she's the, like, exact opposite of Zaylee. So whereas Zaylee is, you know, she's ready to fight, she's ready to do whatever it takes to protect the people she loves, Amari is really sheltered. And she's, very few people in her life actually see her for her. And she's kind of, at the start of the story, it's sort of like, okay, well, that's just who I'm going to be. She doesn't feel this need to, like, I need to define myself, or I need to find my voice, or I need you to see me for me. And she knows that there are some problems with the world, but she's in a very privileged position. So she'll do what she can without rocking the boat. But she's put in a situation where she either needs to really rock, not even rock the boat, like jump out of the boat, or just accept that, like, that is going to be her life. So she's put in that position, and the decision she makes forces her to go on really another epic journey of her own, and not just epic in the scale of the things she has to deal with, but internally, really seeing the effect of her family, the effect of her society, and realizing, like, okay, maybe I'm not just supposed to sit here and, like, look pretty. Maybe there is something I should do. Maybe there's something I need to do. Maybe I am actually the only one who can do it. So she has a really interesting journey. And that was fun to write because it's through really working to figure out what her story and her journey was, she actually became, like, my favorite journey in the entire book. So yeah, I'm excited for readers to really go through that experience with her.
Each of these young women characters at the center of your book, Zaylee and Amari, they each have brothers.
Yeah.
Who are critical to the story, not central to it in the same way that the young women are. What role do each of their brothers play for you?
I love, like, sibling relationships. I love the interactions between siblings. And for Zaylee, you know, she's very impulsive and explosive. And so when I knew I wanted to create a sibling relationship for her, I wanted her to have an older brother who wasn't as impulsive, you know, who thought things through, and also someone who's had a lot put on him because of what's happened to his family. So if he's someone who feels like it's his job to keep everyone safe. And then Anan is Amari's older brother, and their relationship is very different because they love each other, but they're in really different positions. So Anan is poised to inherit the throne, which means he's off learning to fight. He's running the military. He's working with his father. And he's lived his whole life knowing, like, I'm going to be king one day. This country is my duty. So his, like, experience from Amari is really different. And they kind of go from just being brother and sister as kids to being pulled apart. Even though, you know, they're still living in the same palace together, they're still in the same family, but the trajectories of their lives put them in different worlds. So this story and journey kind of brings them back together in a way that's sort of surprising for each of them, because it's like, what are you doing here? Also, what side are you on? So that was a really fun relationship for me to write.
So your story is coming into the world in the age of Black Panther.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
No,
right?
Yeah.
It is. What's your take to Black Panther, culturally, artistically, sort of what this movie has been?
It's amazing. It's literally amazing. Someone was saying, what do you think the relationship is? And I was like, I think it's T'Challa and Shuri. Because, like, where Black Panther and Wakanda is sort of the sci-fi imagining of Africa, Children of Blood and Bone is this fantasy imagining. So they're in dialogue with each other without like imposing on each other. You know, they have giant rhinos, I have giant lions, you know, so I was like, okay, we're good. And like for Black Panther, it was just finally seeing people who look like me shine, and not shine in like a cheesy way or a way that's made fun of or a way that's made to feel inferior in any way, like really having this epic story. And like for me, I've been writing my entire life, and for up until like my very first story, my characters look like me. Every other story between like 6 to 18, my characters were white or biracial. And I didn't even realize until I was 18 why I was doing that and how problematic that was. Mm. I thought those things were accepted. Those things were okay. I somehow internalized that me being Black was not okay. And you internalize those things when you never see yourself. Because if you have hundreds of movies and hundreds of television shows and hundreds of books and hundreds of plays and you're in none of them, okay, well, the reason is I'm probably not supposed to be there. And why I'm not supposed to be there? I don't know, but it's probably just not okay, you know? And then as you get older, it's like, oh, it's because it's not beautiful. Or it's, oh, it's not appropriate. Oh, it's not my place. So you internalize all of these really messed up things. And that's what's so exciting about this book is it's giving us that experience again, but with a completely different story, with a female protagonist, with the way Black Panther sort of commented on the Black experience, you know, like that. I think that's another thing that added to the power of the movie. And then with Children of Blood and Bone, it's this epic adventure, but it's an allegory for the modern Black experience. So it's like woven within every page. And yeah, so I'm so excited. I feel also Ryan Coogler made my job so easy because Black Panther with magic, everyone's eyes like light up. And I was like, sweet, you know, because I used to have, I was like, oh, it's about this girl who does this. But now I'm like those four words and people are like, awesome, I'm in. And I'm like, cool.
Young audiences today, your readers, young adults, are they particularly hungry for this new kind of narrative, this new kind of story, not only of representation, that's one part of it. Challenging powers and upending power structures isn't new in literature by any means, but there seems to be a new hunger for it.
Yeah, I think it's also because of what we're going through in the world. And this, you know, and you look at like the Parkland teen, you know, they're like, I'm not going to accept this thing that I firmly believe just because an adult tells me it is so or that it's always been that way. You know, so we've always had that narrative. It's all the dystopia boom. It was teens challenging kind of the adults that had created an oppressive system. But like people are really feeling that, because when we had that, I was like, I don't know if Obama was in them. But, you know, like people felt the world was never perfect, but people felt a little better. And now we're in a time where people are really angry. They're angry. They are scared. They're sad, they're heartbroken. But beyond that, there's the, I don't feel like I have to, like, I know they're telling me I should just sit here and take this, but no. What happened in all these books and stories that we like to read, people finally feel the need to do that themselves.
Now, back on this book and what people want to read,
Tomi,
Children of Blood and Bone, part one, the trilogy is set. I mean, this is going to be a threefer. It's happening.
Yeah. We got three books, unless book three is like 2,000 pages, then I'm like, maybe we'll split it up. But as of now, three books,
So the book is out this week, and people who get it, look, I'm into a couple of other fantasy series, and that long, that three-year lag they hit you with after you've read book two. Don't do that in this case. Can
no,
you please?
I won't.
I'm not
I
trying
promise.
To put it on you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you're fans.
Yeah.
The book is Children of Blood and Bone. It's out this week.
Yeah.
Congratulations on this
Thank
moment,
you.
And congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much.
That was Tomi Adeyemi, author of Children of Blood and Bone. And you can hear a longer version of my interview with Tomi on our website at thetakeaway.org. And while you're there, check out our new look.